You are listening to a podcast from C3 Church Wallandilly. For more episodes and information, please visit our website at c3wc.com/Wallandilly or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/C3Wallandilly.
Hey, we are right, can you believe it? The 25th of November, we are right at the end of the year, and next week we begin our Christmas series. So today is the very last message in a series that we've been pretty much doing all this year. We've been looking at what we call reasons to believe, and we've been looking at some of the tough questions that are often asked about matters of faith and about God and the Bible and Jesus and so on, and looking at those through a different lens. And rather than burying our head in the sand with these tough questions, we've kind of jumped into them head on, and we've wanted to examine them and see whether or not they are actually reasons to disbelieve. We find that rather than being reasons against faith, they actually point us to faith. We've seen that it actually takes more faith to not believe than it does to believe. So when people say, oh, I don't believe, what they don't realize is they're actually choosing a greater level of faith than those of us who would say we do believe. Now, if you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, then I do hope that this series throughout the year has really encouraged you and provided you with some tools to strengthen your faith and maybe even get you to be able to have some things that you can use to engage in conversation with your friends and your family members who aren't believers. And you can go back to our podcast. If you go C3 Church Wallandilly or C3 Church Camden, between those two, if you search podcast for both of those, between those two locations, you'll get pretty much all the messages that we've spoken about this year, and hopefully you can listen to them again and encourage your friends to listen to them. Now, if you don't yet consider yourself a follower in Jesus, that's totally okay. I want you to know that you are welcome to ask as many questions as you want. There are no dumb questions. You're welcome to attend and belong for as long as you want, even if you don't believe. We just want you to feel like this is a safe place here at C3 to ask as many questions as you want. And you also can go back and look at some of those podcasts, and you may find that they encourage you as well. Throughout the year, we've looked at some of those really tough questions. We've looked at the issues of how can we trust whether the Bible is true? How can we trust whether Jesus is really who he says he was? Did he really rise from the dead? What about the issue of suffering? If God is so good, how can there be so much evil and pain and suffering in the world? We've looked at the issue of science and whether or not we can, science and the Bible are at opposite ends with each other. We discussed that last month. And this month, we've been looking at the issue of equality. What does it mean for Christians to believe that God has created all people equal, and what are the implications for that in our society, in our own lives? And we're wrapping up that entire series today. But before we get into my preaching, I want you to check out this video, a famous video, an excerpt from a famous video.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Yeah. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners, will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood? I have a dream. Because I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. From every mountain. Black men Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
So there you have it, the famous I Have a Dream speech by Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. That was filmed in 1963 in front of thousands of people from all kinds of ethnic backgrounds on the streets, on the steps of the mall in Washington, D.C. And isn't it interesting that the U.S. civil rights movement is just over 50 years ago? This is sobering, really, to think that our society is still dealing with these issues. And if we're honest, we're still dealing with these issues of equality, inequality, even in our own country today. It's a very hot political topic. And so this is central to the way we conduct ourselves in our society. What do we do with this belief that all people are created equal when all around us we see people treating each other with inequality? And you know, the world will often launch attacks against the church and say, oh, the church is into inequality. We don't treat people fairly. We don't treat people equally. But if we look at it historically, every major historical event that has stimulated equality comes from Christians, every single one of them. We talk about the abolition of the slave movement by William Wilberforce. Martin Luther King himself was a Christian minister. And these guys were building their belief in equality out of a belief that all people are created equal. That doesn't mean that we have to agree about everything. See, the problem is we think that equality means that no one can have a contrary opinion. See, I can have a different opinion to you and still believe that you are created in God's image and therefore deserve to be treated with dignity and respect. In fact, it's dignifying to give you the right to have your own opinion. Who am I to tell you what you should believe when God has given you free will? That's often the problem, is that we think people are telling us, if you're a Christian, you might have heard, oh, you don't treat people equally because you don't agree. But that's okay. We believe that we can treat everybody the same and still give them the right to their own opinion because God has given them that right. Here's the irony behind that attack that is so often leveled against the church, is that the belief in equality in Western democratic society actually comes from the Christian belief. You would not have equality in society if it wasn't rooted upon the foundation of the Christian message that all people are created equal. So what I want to do is I want to take a couple of moments and just look at these famous words. You've probably seen these words if you've watched any movie on American history. These are words that come out of the US Declaration of Independence, penned by Thomas Jefferson. And he says, we hold these truths to be self-evident. Which truths? The truths he's about to go on and say. Firstly, that all men are created equal. And by men there, he means men and women. All men are created equal. Two, they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. And three, that among those rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So he's saying, we believe that God has created people in his image. They are all to be treated the same. They all have these rights towards life and liberty and equality and so on. How does that work? He goes on and explains how that plays out in terms of the new burgeoning democracy society that was being built in the United States. And he says, unlike the monarchy, which is where a king would oppress and people had no choice but to be ruled by a monarchy, he said that the people had the right to govern themselves. So how do we make sure, he says, that these rights are maintained for everybody within the society? And he says that in order to secure these rights, governments are not instituted by a monarch, they're instituted from among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. In other words, the people of the society have the right to choose their government. And because he knew human nature, he knew that no matter how much this was an ideal, it was never going to be perfect in reality. He knew that when people get power, they would oppress those they have power over. And so he says, whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, the ends of freedom of rights and so on, it's the right of the people to alter that government or to abolish it or institute a new government. In other words, if you don't like the government, you have the power to vote them out and vote in a new government. Let's go back to the beginning. This foundational belief that these truths are self-evident, that all people are created equal. Now, clearly that doesn't mean equality in socioeconomic equality. It doesn't mean equality in ability. It doesn't mean equality in opportunity, because people are born in different levels of society. It comes back to the foundational belief that all people are created in the image of God. Every human being, regardless of that socioeconomic background, regardless of whether they're able or disabled, every human being is the image bearer of the divine God, and therefore deserves the right to be treated with dignity and respect. He says they have unalienable rights. They cannot be taken away. And it's not that people don't take them away, but his belief is that whenever they're taken away, we end up with inequality and the horrible results of that. And that's history. Anytime someone thinks it's their right to take away somebody else's right, then you've got injustice, you've got inequality, and you have a disparity which causes bad things to happen in society. And so he's saying, we believe here in the United States that every person has rights, and it's no one has the right to take away anybody else's right. Among these, he says, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Every person has the right to life, has the right to live their life. Every person should have the right to freedom. They shouldn't live in oppressive regimes. That's fundamental to the US government. That's part of why US government wants to set people free. I mean, I'm sure they don't do it perfectly, but part of why they want to bring democracy and set people free from oppressive regimes, because it's founded in their own Declaration of Independence. And the pursuit of happiness, what does that mean? Well, it means every person, because we're created in the image of God, has the right by God to pursue a good life, pursue a fulfilling life, a rich life, a life that where we can make the most of all our opportunities. So there you have it. Fundamental in the birth of modern democracy is this Christian belief in equality. So what does it look like for Christians? It's all well and good to think about it at the societal level and the governmental level, but what does it mean for the way we should conduct our lives? How should a belief that God has created all of us equal, how should that cause us to conduct our lives? Well, to do that, the best place to go is to the writings of the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul was one of the early church founders, and he had this understanding of equality. And once I explain this to you, you're going to see it all the way through his writings. You're going to see that so much of what he says is based upon this belief in equality, that all people are created equal. So a bit of background to the society that Paul's writing to. He was writing to churches all over the Greek and Roman world. Now, that society was anything but equal. Let me give you a list of some of the things that were unequal about Roman society. First of all, the Roman emperor was supremely above everybody else. In fact, they were worshipped. The supreme emperor was worshipped as a god. Secondly, there was a class of citizens, breakdown in citizens. There were Roman citizens and there were non-Roman citizens. And the citizens had more rights that the non-citizens didn't have. There were free people and there were slave people. So slavery was rampant in the Roman world. There were rich, there were poor, and then there was horrible sexual abuse of women and children. And even in marriage, older men tended to have multiple wives who were younger than them. They would keep some for sexual pleasure. They would keep some to look after the home, and they would keep others that would maintain their name and bear them sons and heirs. And so there was this disparity and not a lot of love in families. When you know that, and then you read what Paul says about equality and how it plays out, it's nothing short of revolutionary for the culture that he was in. So these societal problems, they weren't just happening out in the world as if the Christian community was exempt from those and they had it all worked out. Not at all. Christian community was full of people from all different backgrounds. There were Jews and there were Gentiles. So there were people who looked down on others. There were rich, there were poor, there were slaves, there were free, there were men, there were women, there were children. All these different problems existed within the church. And Paul is often addressing the fact that those issues are there and people are treating each other unequally. And he's saying, it's not how it should be in the church. You guys have got a different message. You've got to treat people with dignity and respect. So in Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 28, he says, all of you, he's talking to everyone in the church, whether you're a Jew or Greek or whatever, all of you are children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. All of you have been united with Christ in baptism and have put on Christ like new clothes. Now there's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. It's a statement of revolutionary proportions about equality. In Ephesians, we're going to look at a few passages quickly out of the book of Ephesians. He starts with the theological and the theoretical of equality, and then he gets practical about what it looks like in the way we conduct our lives. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 says, "Don't forget you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were once called uncircumcised heathen by the Jews who were proud of their circumcision." Saying, once upon a time, the Jews didn't even give you the time of day. They looked down on you. They thought you were hopeless. They thought you were less than. They thought you were unequal to them. "In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel." They weren't excluded by God. They were excluded by the people who were supposed to be representing God, who weren't and didn't understand God's message of equality. Through his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating one new people group from two groups. He moves into chapter 4 and he starts to get a little bit more practical. In verse 1, he says, "Therefore, I, a prisoner of the Lord, beg you to live a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God." He says, always be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's fault because you have love for one another. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together in peace. For there's one body, one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope. He continues a little bit further down in chapter 4, verse 21. He says, "Since you've heard about Jesus and learned the truth that comes from him, you should throw off the old sinful nature and your former way of life, which corrupted you through lust and deception." The human nature is to be lustful, is to be selfish, is to say, I want that for myself. I want the power. I want the stuff. Paul's saying, you've been unified. Get rid of lust. Live differently. Instead, he says, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on a new nature created by God to be truly righteous and holy. Now, when you see righteous in the Bible, it's very closely linked with justice. Righteousness and justice are like sister themes. And before we finish today, you're going to watch a video that's going to explain that in more depth. So I won't talk about righteousness right now. Let's go down a little bit further for the sake of time into chapter 5. And he gets even more practical. And he starts to talk about how it plays out in very distinct interpersonal relationships. First of all, in marriage and with wives and husbands. He says, "Further, submit yourselves to one another out of reverence for Christ." Remember when I'm about to read this, we're talking about a society where there is no equality in marriage at all. This is how revolutionary it is. He says, "For wives, this means you submit to your husbands as to the Lord." That bit was probably already expected. "For husbands, this bit was not expected. This means you love your wives as Christ loves the church." This is so countercultural. It was really revolutionary. And then it gets even more specific and he links it back to Genesis. He says, "As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother, is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one." That's the very passage where it says God created male and female as representatives, as image bearers of God, and they were intended to be united. So this whole theme, this whole thing he's saying about how we conduct ourselves in marriage is all rooted in the concept of God equality. And then in chapter 6, he talks about children and parents, and he says that relationship and how that should work. And in a society where children were to be seen and not heard, where children were to be an object that was used, he elevates the bar. He starts by saying, children, it's right for you to obey your parents. But he goes on and says, fathers, you should not provoke your children to anger. That was normal in society. But he's saying, no, you do not treat children that way. Bring them up in the discipline of the Lord as fellow heirs of the message of Christ. And then he talks about slaves and masters, or employees and employer relationship. And the first bit sounds to make sense. He says, slaves, obey your earthly masters. Well, that was expected in society. So he's not telling slaves, it's okay, just do your own thing, rebel against them. He's saying, no, obey your earthly masters with deep fear and respect. Serve them sincerely as if you were serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting? Paul's clearly not saying he's pro-slavery. He's just acknowledging and commenting on that's the way the society is at the time. But he's saying, rather than serve out of some oppression, why don't you take back the authority and the dignity and serve willingly and honor your masters? And that would be a revolutionary thought for slaves. But then, as if to get more revolutionary, he says this: masters, treat your slaves in the same way. What way, Paul? The same way they treat you. You lay down your life for them. That was revolutionary. Don't threaten them. Remember that you both serve the same master in heaven and he has no favorites. There it is, equality again. So there you have it. You can see that the implications for the concept of equality and that all people are created in the image of God is vital for how we, you and I, conduct ourselves in our community, in our families, in our workplaces, in our society, in our nation, and so on. Now, before we finish, I want to touch on the issue of justice, as I said. And what does that mean? What does it mean to bring justice to the earth? And now, rather than me teach it, we're going to watch this video by The Bible Project to close. And these guys in this video say it much better than I can. They talk about what justice is. And justice is rooted in this belief that all people are created equal. Therefore, my job is to lift up and uphold the cause of the weak and the poor and the marginalized and the helpless and so on. That's what it means to bring justice to the earth. So we're going to watch this video now. And then at the end, our band are going to come back and our MC is going to come back and close up the service. I do hope you've had an incredible day. I hope this has been helpful to you. I look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks for listening today. For more episodes and information, please visit our website at c3wc.com/Wallandilly or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/C3Wallandilly.